This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, comic and actor Aziz Ansari, is one of the stars of the NBC series Parks and Recreation. In the Judd Apatow film Funny People, he played a loud and self-satisfied comic named Randy, a character Aziz has revived in his own stand-up act. Ansari has also been in the films Observe and Report and I Love You, Man, and has made guest appearances on Flight of the Conchords and Scrubs. He was a member of Human Giant, which had its own sketch comedy show on MTV. But if you want a full dose of Aziz Ansari, there's a new stand-up special he did for Comedy Central, which is now on DVD and CD. It's called Intimate Moments for a Sensual Evening. Ansari grew up in South Carolina, where he was the only person in his school who wasn't white. His parents are from India. Let's start with a short excerpt of Intimate Moments for a Sensual Evening.
I like living in L.A. One thing I don't like about living here is driving. I always get bored when I'm driving. And when I get bored, I go on the internet on my BlackBerry. So I'm gonna die. And whenever they go through the records, they'll find my phone and be like, whoa, that's what he looked up right before he died? I'm gonna be so sad. I'll be like, comedian Aziz Ansari was killed in a car accident today. He was struck by another vehicle while using IMDb to see if Val Kilmer was indeed in the film Willow. Representatives for Mr. Kilmer confirm he was indeed in the film and hopes this will prevent future tragedies of this nature. This is the third Willow-related death this year. Comedian Aziz Ansari was killed in a car accident today. He was struck by another vehicle while checking showtimes for Up on Fandango. He just purchased a single ticket for a 4 o'clock show at a $2 theater in order to live out the saddest afternoon of all time. Comedy bad boy Aziz Ansari, a.k.a. comedy heartthrob Aziz Ansari, was killed in an awful automobile accident today. He was struck by another vehicle while Googling his own name.
That's Aziz Ansari from his comedy special, which is now on DVD, called Intimate Moments for a Sensual Evening. Aziz Ansari, welcome back to Fresh Air. That is really funny. What made you think about how embarrassing it would be to die while Googling yourself?
Well, I remember when I used to come out to L.A. for months at a time when we were doing this sketch comedy show I was on called Human Giant, and I didn't have GPS or anything, and I would be in rental cars, and I would be on my BlackBerry looking at maps at, like, the dumbest stuff, like using the Wendy's restaurant locator and things like that, and I was like, this is so dumb. I'm gonna die because I'm on my phone looking for a Wendy's. And so from that notion, I kind of came up with the other bits for that joke.
Your act is filled with the kinds of stories that you would tell friends, but you're telling the audience. Are friends sometimes your first audience?
Sometimes, like, you know, I've told stories to friends and been like, oh, you know, I could probably take that story and turn it into something in my act. Like, after I went and saw that R. Kelly story, I obviously told some friends about that experience as a friend telling someone about something crazy that happened to him. And then I started doing it on stage and kind of crafting it more for stand-up purposes. And, you know, when you tell a story on stage, it's a different thing. You kind of have to have, you know, really hard jokes to go in, and the pacing and stuff has to be right. So it takes, you know, it'll take a while for me to tell a story on stage to get it to where it really works well stand-up-wise. But, yeah, you know, all those things I've talked about in my act, for the most part, like the story about Kanye West and stuff, those are all stories I told my friends at some point, you know.
So I want to play another example from your show. That's now out on DVD and CD. And in this part, you're talking about watching a reality show on MTV called Next. It's a reality show about dating that I've actually never seen or heard of. But you had previously done a sketch comedy show as part of the group Human Giant on MTV. So
yes.
Here's your take on this dating reality show.
First guy that comes out, right? He's a guy going out on the dates. And he comes up there and he says this. He goes, yo, this girl better be pretty, because if she's a pain in the ass, I'm going to need something cute to look at. And I was stunned that he could say that. That's so offensive. And at the same time, on my show, they didn't want us to say that a character was raped by a dinosaur. Raped by a dinosaur, because that's too offensive. Oh, I guess they didn't want all these angry letters from paleontologists. We're like, hey, man, there's nothing in the fossil records to suggest that kind of behavior. So why don't you chill with your accusations? And then after you meet this dude, then you meet the girls he's going out on the dates with. And they come up there and they say things like, if he has a neck tattoo, I'm going to lick it. It's like, whoa, how slutty can you be in 5 seconds? And then after they say that, they freeze. And like 3 facts about them pop up on the left side. And the first 2 facts are always really normal. But the third fact always comes way out of left field. It's always like, Monica's 22. She's a hairdresser in Hollywood. And she hates purple gift wrap. Like, how does that define her as a person? And the whole show just bummed me out, man. Because the things they try to keep off TV are just like really explicit sex or violence. And no one cares about their kids seeing attitudes like that on TV. And that's way worse to me. Like, I'd much rather have a daughter that grew up and shot me in the leg and burned my house down than some really slutty girl that hates the sound of people eating bananas.
Are you amazed at how proud people are to behave stupidly on reality TV shows?
Man, every time I've seen that show Next, you really can't believe how terrible the people are that go on that show. What if each time you came back from a clip, I was just sitting here just laughing so hard at my own stuff? <It's> like, Oh, God, Terry, we got to take a break. I forgot about that bit. It's so funny. And you're like, oh, my God, this guy's really full of himself.
So do you feel like you had to create a personality, like a persona for yourself on stage, like a stage version of Aziz Ansari?
No, not really. I never made a conscious effort to do that. I just kind of tried to be kind of natural and conversational, and I think my stuff is kind of a little bit longer, more story-based. It's not as jokey sometimes, you know? I just try to create, like, a vibe of, someone kind of casually telling you stories and things like that.
Now, you did create an alter ego comedian named Randy, which you portrayed in Funny People, and there's some really funny, you can find these on YouTube, really funny video.
Wait, you're not going to play any excerpts from the
Randy? Oh, they're
the
so filthy. There's like absolutely no word I could probably play on the radio.
Wait, can you say tatties? That's not even a real world. That's a word that Randy made up, tatties.
Right.
You can say tat. Let's just both say tatty. Terry, can you just say tatties real quick just to do it?
Oh, no, I would never say that word.
But that's not a real word.
I know.
Randy made up that word.
I know.
You could say it.
You're going to make me
say it. Would be a landmark moment for NPR if you just said tatties one time. It's not a real word. They don't have to bleep it. It's an imaginary word.
Put it in a sentence for me.
Look at those tatties. They got to let this on, please. They're definitely not going to put any of it on NPR.
Okay, imaginary scenario. 4-year-old says to his mother, Mommy, what's a tatty?
And she'll be like, I don't know. Is that something you heard on NPR?
Then it must mean an intellectual endeavor involving...
Tatties refers to a rare form of violin playing that was practiced in ancient Denmark.
Thank you. Tatties, that's among my favorite type of music.
You said tatties.
There
you did
go.
It. You did.
So tell us how you created your alter ego, Randy. Who is Randy? Randy.
So Randy was a character in the film Funny People that was the last film Judd Apatow did, and he had this character, and he there's very little bit of stuff written.
It's
for
a,
Randy.
It's a film about stand up comics, and you play
yes.
one of them. Yeah. Who's
yes, and Randy was a small character, and the idea Judd kind of pitched to me was that he wanted the guy to be, like, really cocky and, like, very concerned about things like merchandising and things like that. So that was kind of the basic idea. And the other notion in my head all the time was, like, okay, every time I've done comedy in, like, traditional comedy clubs, there's always these comedians that do really well with audiences but that the other comedians hate because they're just, you know, doing kind of cheapy stuff, like dancing around or doing like very kind of base sex humor a lot and stuff like that. So I kind of took that idea and ran with that as well. And you know, I watched a lot of comedians like, you know, I really like this comedian Cat Williams, and you know, he's very energetic and you know, he's really funny. But I saw that and I was like, well, what if somebody just saw that and it just was like, oh, I can do that. It's just like yelling around and saying stuff about your penis and did it badly. And that's another kind of thing about Randy that I kind of took.
And it's great. His DJ is called Ole Youngun.
That's this guy Brandon Johnson, who's very funny. I was at the UCB Theater in LA. It's a theater I perform in, and I was kind of workshopping the Randy material. Like, once we had the Randy character, the idea of it, I was at first just kind of doing my material and just kind of, you know, jumping around and yelling it in different ways and stuff. And then, you know, as we were filming, I was like, well, I should just write specific material for Randy because Randy wouldn't talk about the stuff Aziz talks about. So that's when I kind of wrote this stuff about, you know, the really dirtier stuff. And one night I had this idea of like, oh, well, Randy should have a DJ. And so I loaded up my laptop with like these sounds like, a lot of DJs and hip-hop artists, when you see them perform live, they will have this reggaeton horn sample that just goes, bah, 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 and rap artists use it, like, to death. And it's just like, anytime you go see a rap show, they, like, hit that thing way too much. Like, they'll just be like, you guys psyched to be here, like, bah, 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 bah. So I was like, well, what if a comedian used that sound, too, the same way rappers do? So I wrote that, and I had, like, I recorded myself just going, Randy! Just like that. And so, like, my idea was, like, whenever I would do a joke at the end, it would just be like, and then I was like, I gotta get out of here. Randy! And, you know, so that was the idea. And I was just gonna keep the laptop on the side of the stage, and then after I finished the joke, like, jump over and just start hitting those buttons like crazy. So, like, I would finish a joke, and there'd just be like, Randy! You know, like that. And, my friend Brandon was there, and I was like, oh, Brandon's really funny. What if he's just the DJ? And so he did it, and, like, right away, I could tell he was just going to be awesome at this. And so every time I did Randy after that, he was there.
My guest is comic and actor Aziz Ansari. His Comedy Central special just came out on CD and DVD. Ansari co-stars on the NBC series Parks and Recreation. Amy Poehler plays the head of the Parks and Rec Department in a small Indiana town. Ansari plays Tom Haverford, one of the people who works for her in the department. Let's hear a scene. Poehler has just been trying to convert a big pit into a park. She started a community garden in the pit.
People have just really embraced this and planted the coolest stuff. And Tom is our master horticulturist. He knows all the scientific names for everything, right, Tom?
Yep.
Like this? What's this, Tom?
Those are, of course, tomatoes, or Soulja Boy tellos. Whenever Leslie asks me for the Latin names of any of our plants, I just give her the names of rappers.
And those over there?
Those are some ditties. We have some Bone Thugs and Harmoniums right here.
Growing beautifully.
Those ludicruses are coming in great.
A lot of people know you from the TV series Parks and Recreation.
Yes, we just got picked up for a third season, which I'm very excited about.
Congratulations. Describe your character.
In the show, I play a character named Tom Haverford, who is a lower-level employee at the Parks and Recreation Department in a small town called Pawnee, Indiana. And I work under Amy Poehler's character, Leslie Knope, and it's a really fun character. You know, he's kind of like this guy who thinks he's really cool, but he's stuck in this small town, and he's just way cooler and smoother in his head than he actually is. You know, I kind of, the kind of people that I think about when I'm portraying the character, I'm like, well, who's this guy's hero? And for some reason, Jamie Foxx, it always pops in my head. Like, I think Jamie Foxx is, like, who he really looks up to because, you know, Jamie's an Oscar winner, he's an R&B singer, and he's an all-around smooth guy.
Now, one of the things that happens to your character in Parks and Recreation is something that I imagine happens to you as well. People who meet the character assume that he must be from India, even though he actually was born and grew up in South Carolina, like you. And he has changed his name to Tom Haverford from Darwish Sabir Ismail Ghani.
It's Darwish Sabir Ismail Ghani, yeah.
Yeah.
So, which is my cousin's name.
Oh, yeah. You always talk about your cousin Darwish. I didn't realize that was his full name.
I put his name on there just so he would watch it and freak out.
Did he freak out?
Yeah. He was like, man, all these people just started emailing me and say, use my name in the show.
So here's a scene from a party in which you and the Leslie Knope's character she's there with her boyfriend, and you and she are trying to impress him. He assumes you're from India.
God, India is so amazing. Let me tell you something. That is my absolute favorite place to travel. Where did you say your parents were from?
The South Park.
Ugh, the southern part's always the best part of anything.
Have you ever been to Kunaman Mosque down in Tamil Nadu?
Are you kidding? My uncle practically runs the place. I prayed there. It's sick.
Tell me everything right now.
One sec.
I just gotta hit the loo, as those bastard British imperialists would say. Last time I was in India, I was 8 years old, and I stayed inside the whole time playing video games. I gotta bone up. Fourth largest coal reserves in the world.
What you're doing is you're in another room at the computer boning up by Googling or going on Wikipedia or something so that you can answer his questions. Sounds smart.
Yeah, that was a funny bit they wrote. I thought that was really funny because I always meet white people that know way more about India than I do and have probably spent more time in India than I have. And it always cracks me up because, like, people assume I know a lot, and it's like, no, I don't really. I haven't been there that much. You know, I've been there two or three times, and, you know, it's not something I'm proud of. I wish I knew more and wish I'd spent more time there, but, you know, I haven't, you know? Yeah, I thought that was kind of a smart bit that they put in there for me to do in the show. Yeah.
So did your parents immigrate here from India?
Yes, yeah. My parents are from India, but I was born and raised in South Carolina.
And you were the only person in your school up to 10th grade who was not white, right?
Yes, I went to this small school in Bennettsville, South Carolina, where I'm from. There's like, you know, 9,000 people there. And yeah, I was the only minority in the whole school. There wasn't even any Asian people, nothing. And then in 11th and 12th grade, I went to this school called the Governor School for Science and Math, which is like this public boarding school where they kind of take kids that are advanced in science and math. Geniuses, such as myself. I went there in 11th and 12th grade, and there I finally saw an Asian person for the first time ever. And, you know, that school, it was much more racially diverse, and I met people of different backgrounds and stuff. And also, even just meeting kids from different parts of South Carolina was good because, you know, everyone in Bennettsville is from Bennettsville and, like, talks like people from Bennettsville, et cetera. In the Governor School, I met some people that are from, like, Greenville and Columbia and Charleston and Somerville, which are, you know, compared to Bennettsville, may as well be, like, New York or L.A., you know, because Bennettsville is kind of a small, you know, bubble. But, you know, that's kind of where I lost my Southern accent and stuff like that, and it was a good experience. But, yes, when I was growing up in Bennettsville, I was the only non-white kid in the whole school. But I think when people hear that, they immediately think, like, wow, that must have been horrible. Like, people threw stuff at you every day, and it was horribly racist. And it really wasn't. Like, occasionally, I was telling someone this the other day, like, occasionally there was, like, a racist thing that happened every now and then. But for the majority of the time, I may as well have just been a really tan white kid. You know, I may as well have just been like a fat kid. You know, sure, every now and then people make fun of you for being fat, but most of the time people are just like, all right, that's the way it is.
So we're going to squeeze in one more clip here.
Sure.
Here's another clip from Aziz Ansari's Comedy Central special that's now out on DVD and CD. And this is something that is in part talking about movies. I don't think I really need to set it up, though.
I was doing an interview once, and this guy goes, you must be pretty psyched by all this Slumdog Millionaire stuff. And I was like, yeah, I am. I have no idea why, though. I had nothing to do with that movie. It's just some people that kind of look like me are in this movie that everyone loves and winning Oscars and stuff. And I was like, whoa. Are white people just psyched all the time? It's like, Back to the Future, that's us. Godfather, that's us. Godfather Part 2, that's us. Departed, that's us. Sunset Boulevard, that's us. Citizen Kane, that's us. Jaws, that's us. Every f-ing movie but Slumdog Millionaire and Boys in the Hood is us.
You had to bleep my favorite punchline at the end of that joke.
Well, what can I say? So is that a good summation of what you think of, like, identity politics?
When I crafted that joke, I wasn't doing it in the idea of, like, what is my you know, statement on identity politics, but I think that that is really how I felt. Like, I don't think that guy, when he asked that question, was being racist or anything when he said, are you psyched about Slumdog Millionaire? Because the answer is yes, and it's actually very interesting to me. Like, why are people psyched about that? Why do I get psyched that that movie's doing well? I had nothing to do with it. Why is there that kind of sense of, like, camaraderie with people that are just happen to be of the same ethnicity as me? And then, you know, then from that, I took the idea of, like, well, I mean, what I'm really saying is, oh, so I guess white people don't have that because they're so everywhere and so successful. I guess the reason you do get excited is because, oh, you don't really see a lot of Indian people doing Oscar-winning movies. So when you see that, you feel kind of proud, I guess. But, you know, so if that was true for white people, they'd be psyched all the time because every movie has white people in it, you know.
Aziz Ansari, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Aziz Ansari's Comedy Central special is now on DVD and CD. It's called Intimate Moments for a Sensual Evening. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.